can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have here each and every day on this broadcast. Listen, as we face the issues, this program is designed around you, our listener. We invite you to pick up the telephone, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Join the dialogue and discussion. We're going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, our telephone lines will be open and invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, I'll tell you further about how the program is designed and set up, but let me just do a precursor introduction to where we're going. I'm looking at a headline that says, Iranian senior military advisor says we must chop off Trump's hands, slit Netanyahu's throat, and annihilate Israel. Perhaps America has joined the war because we were very close to annihilating Israel. It was in the closing stages, this rant says. The senior advisor to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, the branch of the Iranian armed forces created by the Ayatollah in 1979 to protect the radical theocratic regime, said on Iranian television Monday, June the 23rd, that Iran was very close to annihilating Israel. He said that the U.S. may have joined the conflict because Iran was on the verge of destroying the Jewish state. Further, he states in this, Iranians must chop off President Trump's hand, insisted the speaker, and slit Netanyahu's throat, boasting that America's military bases and warships in the region could be eliminated in the blink of an eye. But most important of all, he insisted that Israel itself must be annihilated. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the results of a family feud. Let me repeat that. The issue today, we're talking about the results of a family feud. Ladies and gentlemen, this spokesman that I just read the article about, speaking for the Iranian Guard group, said we must chop off Trump's hands, slit Netanyahu's throat, annihilate Israel. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. This sets the stage for where we're going today. We're witnessing a 4,000-year-old family feud, a spiritual battle. It's being fought out in a military course. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing a spiritual battle. Although we see it as the battle between Israel and Iran, it really dates back to Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and following. We find, ladies and gentlemen, the historic record of the origin of today's Islamic jihad against all Jews and Christians. Remember, God promised Abraham a son. And Abraham's 90-plus years old at the time. And he believed God, according to Genesis 15:6. He believed God. And the Bible says, and God counted unto him as righteousness. But Sarah could not wait. She could not wait on God. She offered Abraham her maid, Genesis 16:2. So Hagar, her maid, bore a son named Ishmael, fathered by Abraham. And ladies and gentlemen, then in God's timing, Abraham gave birth through Abraham was birthed Isaac, the one that is the heir, the one that today we hear the name Israel. Isaac is the father through Abraham of the nation of Israel. So, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that family feud, it is raining headaches and heartaches and terror for centuries across the world. And it's the battle between two half-brothers, Ishmael and Isaac. We'll talk about that further as we complete our monologue today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So, ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, truth is the core element that should be seeking each and every day. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." But ladies and gentlemen, may I insert a Youngblood little footnote. Without truth, we'd be lost as a world. Without truth, we'd have no jurisprudence system. Without truth, we would have nothing to point to as a rationale or reason for anything that we have today. It is truth that is the fundamental foundation of our nation. It is the truth of the Word of God that is the truth book, as I call it. And so when we look at the Scripture, and listen, I've said many, many, many times on this broadcast down through the years that we need to look at the truth book. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God tells us past, present, and future what he has done, what he is doing, and what he shall do. But one of the issues that I find so disconcerting today is that according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, that 55% of millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, make this statement. Each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's the case, we have destroyed any fundamentals that we can build anything on in America. It's the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline I'm looking at warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint says. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, there can't be a truer statement than what I just read. If we are abandoning truth, and it's been totally abandoned in the Socialist, Communist, Marxist, Democratic Party. They couldn't spell truth if their lives depended on it. The Marxist media doesn't know truth. In fact, I find it fascinating that when Trump was about to get on the helicopter going someplace, I forgot the details, but one of the things that took place was that Trump was asked a question by the Communist Network News, CNN. And he took that moment before he gave an answer to talk about how wretched the media is and how they do not know truth. And they are destroying the integrity of what is said in news today. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions, especially when it comes to the full line of Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff that can answer your question about the power backup equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, the knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark, on the campus of Tools for a Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole floats Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just remind you that we're dealing with the battle between good and evil, the battle between two half-brothers, the battle between those that are out of the Ishmael group. And the Bible, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, promised Hagar that her son Ishmael would be the father of unnumbered multitudes, and that Ishmael's seed would be hated of all people, and his hand would be against all men. Genesis 16, 9, 10, and 11. So, ladies and gentlemen, that sets the stage of the battle that's taking place today. That sets the stage of where we're going in relationship to dialogue and discussion. In just a moment, we're going to introduce our very special guest that I believe would have some insight on these issues that we need to talk about. We're going to talk about them today, ladies and gentlemen, so that you can be informed. Let me remind you once again, it might sound redundant, but I need to remind you. As we face the issues, let me remind all of us, we need to look at the issues local, state, national, and globally through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? Perhaps you've wondered what this battle between Israel and Iran is about. Iran is old Persia. It's the battle between Ishmael and his family tree, and Isaac and his family tree, which is Israel. Israel and Ishmael are the two half-brothers that has brought this about. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation, our world has been an eyewitness, I believe, what I call the hand of God, working through President Trump to attend to the matter of trying to resolve this family feud, this battle, to resolve it. It's a battle that's been going on for about 4,000 years. And ladies and gentlemen, B-2 bombers just dropped 14 bunker-busting bombs on all of the Iranian nuclear production sites. I'm looking at an article. I'm going to read this and then introduce our visitor today, our guest. This is from Donald Trump on Real Trump on social media. We have completed our very successful attack on three nuclear sites in Iran, including, and he names the three sites, all planes are now outside of Iran airspace. A full payload of bombs was dropped on the primary sites. All planes are safely on their way back home. Congratulations to our great American warriors. There's not another military in the world, listen to this, that could have done this. Now is the time for peace. Thank you for your attention in this matter. So, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump says, we've done the job, we've cleaned the clock, we've cleaned the house, we've neutered any potentiality of Iran having a nuclear weapon. The job is done. Now let's have peace. And there was a ceasefire that was agreed upon between Israel and Iran. What happened? What's the end result? Ladies and gentlemen, since October the 7th of 2023, the hot war between Israel and Iran has been raging. October the 7th, 2023, a Holocaust took place against Israel. Some writers have said 1,200 people were slaughtered. Some says as many as 1,400 slaughtered. Hundreds were taken into captivity. Dozens of them are still unaccounted for, probably dead, or still in the tunnels in under the buildings in Gaza. Israel, ladies and gentlemen, began its campaign against their archenemy, Iran, immediately following the Iranian attack on Israel, October the 7th, 2023. Now, this is not the first battle, but I'm giving you the latest to bring you up to date as we talk with our guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our delight to have Congressman Mike Hill with us. Congressman Hill is the special guest on Let's Face the Issues today. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative in the Florida House of Representatives. Welcome, Congressman Hill, to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. And it was so interesting how you started off your monologue talking about this being a family feud that we're seeing happening between Iran and Israel based on the differences of the two sons that were born by Abraham was able to bear, Ishmael and Isaac. And those two have been fighting ever since. But it's interesting how God has described Ishmael, who name means, if you translate it from Hebrew into English, it means God will hear. So God will hear is what Ishmael means. And the Lord describes him as a wild man.
That's right.
Since his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So he's been called a wild man. You can't tame it. You can't tame him. So to think that we could bomb a nation like Iran into submission, I don't think that's going to happen. But Trump, I think, is taking a different tact, and he is saying instead of bombing each other, which will not work, I think he recognizes that, why don't we trade with each other? And thereby we'll have a mutual need for each other, and that could help stop the killing. I think that might be wishful thinking, because God himself called him a wild man. Mm-hmm. And said his hand will be against every man, and every man will be against him. In other words, Dr. Youngblood, this is a battle that's going to continue, I believe, until the Lord Jesus Christ's second coming.
Absolutely. That'll be when Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, comes, and peace will not reign on this earth until Jesus Christ stands again on this earth and is in the 1,000-year, what is called the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congressman Hill, I think all of the listeners may already know. If they don't, it's news for them. President Trump negotiated and, if you please, brokered a ceasefire between Israel and Iran. That ceasefire seemed to not hold as of last evening. Can you talk for just a moment about the ceasefire, your thoughts on it, its ability to stop it? Do you believe that the ceasefire will hold? Why is it then when both sides had agreed on a ceasefire that all of a sudden a barrage of missiles from both sides of the aisle, if you will, started to being released? What happened? Was Trump mistaken? Did Trump make a mistake? You almost touched on it a moment ago when there seems to be an approach that we can resolve this issue with peace talks. What are your thoughts about that? When we know, and I'm going back and rehashing this, when we know that it is a family feud for over 4,000 years, it is a feud that is born out of born out of what I call disobedience to God. God told Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham believed God, trusted God. Sarah decided, we're not going to wait any longer. We're getting old. We're a little too old now to have a child. Why would I come in? And basically she decided she was going to usurp the authority that God had given. She was going to usurp his authority and told Abraham, her husband, to go into her handmaid, Hagar, and have sex and produce a child. And that's what happened. And so as a result, we're witnessing this, and as you said a moment ago, in relationship to the battle, but my question is, with the ceasefire, what happened? What is it Trump didn't understand? What is it Trump did not know? And should we blame Trump for the ceasefire's breakdown? And do you think it can be reestablished?
Well, I think, Dr. Youngblood, that Trump may have been a little bit naive in thinking that it could be done so quickly. He told them in 12 hours there would be a ceasefire. And in 12 hours after that, we're going to have peace. And so what Israel and Iran both did at the beginning of those 12 hours began unleashing all their bombs. And then with the intent to stop after 12 hours. But the harm that's inflicted upon them both unleashing their bombs early, before the 12 hours were over, one, it angered Trump, who I think the reason it angered him is it hurt his pride, his ego. Mm-hmm. He thought just by saying a word that something was going to happen and would remain in place. When you say for over 4,000 years this battle's been going on, and he thought he could stop it with a word, and so it hurt his ego, his pride, and he used language that you hear most of the kids using today. When I say kids, I mean younger people, not, you know, in their 20s and 30s. And he dropped the F-bomb. This is a man who's 79 years old. You know, you might say that, well, you shouldn't say it any time, but you might say it in private, but you don't say it in public. When he says they don't know what the blank they're doing, referring to Israel and Iran, and they know exactly what they're doing. They hate each other.
They
hate each other with a generational passion.
Absolutely. And Congressman Hill, one of the things, and we'll touch on this and then take our callers, one of the things that I said in relationship to that when I heard him speak those words, that's beneath the office of president. Now, I realize he is, just as all of us, we're human beings with our frailties and faults and falling and the capability of sinning against God any time. But I find it below the dignity of the office that it ought not to have been said. But as you said, I hadn't thought of that. I believe that's exactly what happened. It's basically spitting in his face because he thought he had negotiated. He thought he could believe what both sides says. And I don't believe, and let me just do this little inset. I don't believe Trump really understands that this is a spiritual battle. It is a 4,000-year-old battle, and I don't think there's a quick fix to it. There might be a simmering down. There might be a calming down. There might be what is called today ceasefire for a brief period of time, but I don't think it can hold based on the authority of the Scripture, especially as found in Genesis, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 9 and following. Congressman Hill, hold your thought for just a moment. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. General Youngblood, I'll tell you something. Our president had the balls from, Bush on down, knew that they could not have a nuclear weapon. Even Saudi Arabia, there was, because they're the bullies. They are the bullies in that state. And they call Israel the small Satan, they call America the great Satan. So they would have attacked us also.
Kenneth, you're exactly right. And one of the things we'll touch on further in the broadcast, what is the outfall? Where we're going as a nation, where we're going as a world, when even if there is a ceasefire, even if there is a diminishing of the open hostility and the attacks, my question is going to be ultimately for this broadcast today, will we have resolved the problem, or will that problem still be simmering? And in that simmering, will that problem pop up all across America, as we've seen just recently? recently with an individual going into a church and starting shooting in the church up in Michigan. My question is, and I'll talk about it further in the broadcast, Pam Bundy has already announced that the nation is on a standby risk that over 1,000 entered into America illegally under Biden, that sleeper cells today just waiting. So that's what we're going to talk about further in the broadcast. So it demands our prayer, and as Christians, we need to keep looking up and at the same time saying, God, strengthen Trump, give him wisdom, give him tenacity, and most of all, protect him. Because as it stands right now, listen, as it stands at this moment, every Islamic around the globe would love to have the opportunity to annihilate, to wipe out, totally destroy President Donald J. Trump. He's the only president in American history that I believe would have had the capability, the possibility, the wisdom, and the leadership of God to do what he's doing now. So I'm thankful for that. So, Kenneth, it demands our prayer. It demands our continuing to be alert and watching, because I believe that America is still on the verge of some major, major, major uprising from within our borders. But thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. Keep looking up. Tom is on the line. Tom, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. You know, I've listened to the broadcast and supported it for years, and because it's always a step ahead of where the world's at. It's like reading tomorrow's newspaper today, and that's why I love it. And I like what you just said. You've brought up some good ideas, like, for instance, the 1,000 Iranians that were caught and released under the Biden administration, and they were told to come back and be nice, and we'd all have kumbaya. But the question, and what I've learned is, and what your priming us all for, is this thing with Trump is a short respite. The liberals haven't went away. They would vote to destroy Israel tomorrow if they could. We've proven the American military can't be defeated. What will defeat America will be the communist left. The Democratic Party will eventually promise enough free stuff, bring enough illegals in. Won't that be where the Antichrist gets his power? And that will eventually water down, denuder, and destroy America as we know it, is that party. Is that
absolutely
true?
Absolutely. Let me take a moment to give a brief answer and then ask Congressman Hill to jump in on this dialogue and discussion. Number one, America is not mentioned any place in the eschatological, prophetic final days of the text and the final days of this world. So the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered, what will happen to America? And if you go back and look at history, and with Gibbon's description of the implosion, if you please, of the global, of the Roman Empire was not destroyed from without. It imploded from within. And I believe we're going to recognize, just as you said, Tom, that we're going to have a takeover of America from the Islamic position. I believe either Islamic or Islamic and the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, because we have AOC right now and Bernie Sanders that are the leading candidates for the presidency of the United States of America. We have right now running in New York one of the 11 primary candidates that is an Islamic that's running, and he's 52% out of the 11 candidates. He's at 52%. And when you understand that the demographers in 2009 said that by 2050 America would be an Islamic nation, that should cause every head to look up and recognize that God's in control. Congressman Hill, what say you to the comments that Tom had?
Tom made some good comments, as always. Thank you for calling in, Tom. What I would say about his comments is that we have to recognize that it's not only did the left bring in Islamists that could potentially destroy this nation from within, but there are also Democrats who want to kill Trump, who want to destroy this nation, who want to make it a communist nation.
Yes,
because they think that that would work. They think that would bring in some sort of utopia even though it has not worked in any other nation on earth since it began.
You're exactly right, Congressman Hill. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill today. He will be holding over until after our top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.org.